Thank you, guys. Thank you for leading us in song, and we are glad that not only do you have a gift and you've worked on that gift, but that you are willing to share it with us. And thank you for leading us in song this morning. And what a great thing it is to see them involved. And special thanks to your parents and those who get them here and make sure they're here, but also for the motivation that they have within. It's great to see everyone today. We're glad that you're here. And I bless you with a Merry, Merry Christmas as you prepare to be with your families this week. Many of you, the year has been kind to others of you. You've had some challenges and struggles, but through it all, just remember, Emmanuel, God is with us, and He is with you. His Spirit is with you. His power and His presence is with you as you prepare for this week to celebrate and to give thanks for what Christmas is all about. Well, the lesson this morning comes from Matthew, and we will be reading in the first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. These particular scriptures come after the genealogy, okay, in Matthew. Now, we all know about genealogies. You know, there's ancestry.com and all these things that you can go to. And there's probably many of you out here that are just very efficient and trying to figure out, you know, where you came from, how you were connected to your relatives in the past. You probably found out some good things, and there's probably some things you weren't so excited about. But that's not the point. The point is to make the connection between who you are here, where you are right now, and some of your past and how you got here. And that's what Matthew was trying to do. He is linking, and it's important, he is linking Jesus all the way back to the beginning of creation. And what Matthew is trying to do is sort of authenticate this Messiah. He quotes scripture from the Old Testament, and we read in this story how God continues to interact, how God continues to reach down, how God continues to have His will and His way in spite of us as human beings. And so let's hear these words from Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. Connection. See that? Son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This is supernatural, above and beyond anything that you can comprehend. You don't even need to try to comprehend it, because if you did, you wouldn't understand it. That's what happens sometimes in our lives, right? We'll say, well, I don't understand what happened, but it was good. So, supernatural. That which conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, that's a job description for you right there. This is Jesus' job description. He will save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, connection, Isaiah, Old Testament. Behold, a virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Three words, important words. God is with us. God is with you. God is with me. God is with creation. He's with all that is happening during that moment, during that time, and will be in the future. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep. I was aroused from my sleep last night about 3 in the morning when Michelle came in with Stephen and the family, driving in from Delaware, plane delayed. But we know what it's like to be aroused from our sleep. We're not thinking sometimes. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, again, we thank you for all that have gathered here today. For what a beautiful sight to see all these families here together, and many others who are here, Lord, in spite of the year that they have had. They are here because they know that you are with them. We know that you're with us and that you will speak to us. You will intercede in our lives in powerful and mighty ways that we know not of. And we thank you for that. We ask your blessings now upon the word and upon us as it goes forth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, I just got to say, what a gorgeous day it is here in December. Wow. It is absolutely beautiful out there. Feels like a summer day. And that wasn't part of the sermon after the scripture, but I just thought I had to say it. Doesn't it make you feel great? I hope so. I hope it does. Well, I want to quote to you this quote from a famous actor who starred in a lot of Western movies. Some of you young people might not know this name, but his name was John Wayne. John Wayne made this statement: courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. I like that. Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Here we have the story of Mary, of Joseph and Mary and the Christ child. We are reminded in this story of the connection that Joseph has with all of his past, as well as Mary and Jesus. Now, I mentioned something about connection, but I want to mention just a little bit more about it. You know, it's important. And in this day and time, we know there's a lot more important about who we're related to and how we are related. You know why? Because of medical technology now, we know, and they tell us, that because of DNA, they can track certain things, hereditary diseases, or hereditary, paths, through our bloodlines. And because of the technology we have today, sometimes it is very important to know that. And because we know that, sometimes they can divert certain things down the road, or it helps us to know certain things so that we can be aware of it. and it might keep us more fit. It might keep us from going down the road we don't need to go down on. And we might be able to get the wisdom and help that we need to save us. Don't you like that? So connection is important. Isn't that marvelous? They didn't know that in the Old Testament. They didn't know that in the New Testament. They went along the bloodlines had to do with the royal throne of David. And so it was important that Joseph, that everybody knew that the bloodline that Jesus was coming through was that royal bloodline, that it was authenticated. And that it was purposeful because the scriptures had proclaimed it. And it would be more acceptable if that was so. And so we come to this story. This is a story about courage. Joseph, the scriptures tell us, Joseph takes a wife. Joseph takes a wife. Now, the process then was a lot different than it is today, you young people that are here. Okay, because in those days, parents, there were three steps to the final marriage. And those final moments when the couple were together. There were three steps. One, the first step was what we call the engagement. And in the engagement, the father of the bride and groom, the mother and father of the bride and groom, they chose. While the kids were young, they chose who they would marry because they believed marriage was so important and it affected lives so great that they didn't want to leave it up to the romanticism and how fickle love can be when you're at a young age, especially when you're a teenager. Some of you, we know that. It can be fickle. It can be emotional. And it has nothing to do many times with who you're going to choose to marry down there. Sometimes it does. So the husband and wife are the ones of the children, of the parents. They're the ones that made this engagement while the couple was young, while the children were younger. And so then we had the second part of the marriage process, and that is the betrothal. The betrothal took place when the children got a little bit older. And as they were proceeding along this, it was kind of like a authenticating the engagement. And so as they were going through this betrothal time, it was... they were moving toward legally being married. But during this betrothal, the engagement could be stopped. The wife or the woman could say, no, I don't want to go that route. That means so one thing or another could happen. During the betrothal, you know, one party or the other could say, hey, this is not right. But also during that time, if the couple wanted to stay together, they had no intimacy during that time, no relations, no sexual relations during that time. And so we believe that it is at this time when we hear about the story of Mary and Joseph. Now, this story centers mainly around Joseph. We talked about connectedness, and now we're talking about courage. Joseph had chosen this lady to be his wife, And then, you know, life looks great. I mean, life, you know, things are going along real well. You know, he's got his girl. And, man, things couldn't be happier, couldn't be greater. He's probably a little bit older, and he's probably wondering if that time was going to ever come. This lady, this girl has been promised to him, and he finally gets her, gets to be with her. And man, life is good. Everything seems to be coming up roses. But as happens in life sometimes, there's always some bumps in the road, isn't there? There's always that moment in time when things don't go the way that we think they ought to go. And we have no control over it. No control whatsoever. That's when those problems and our difficulties come before us. And we don't know what to do when it happens. Oh, society can tell us, well, you should do this. Mom and dad can tell us, oh, you should do that. The preacher might even say, you should do this or that. And in this day of time, it was serious when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. He knew he didn't do it. He knew it wasn't his problem because of that betrothal stage. What's he going to do? He's in a dilemma. No, it wasn't just a matter of saying, Mary, we're cutting it off here. You go your way, and I'll go my way. That wasn't the way society was then. Mary, if Joseph didn't go through with this, in his mind, in his carnal mind, in his fleshly mind, if Joseph didn't go through with this, and he put her out, she could be stoned. Not only could she be stoned, but if they found out the guy that did this out, he could be stoned. Wasn't very pleasant circumstances, was it? Not to mention, she's carrying a baby. She's carrying God's son. Joseph didn't know that at the time. Mary knew it. Joseph certainly didn't know it. Talking about being kept in the dark. And we've all been there too, haven't we? We've all been there. I was in the dark. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about this. So Joseph's in a dilemma. And society at that time just frowned upon this. And he didn't know what to do. Society and probably the priests and temple would say, you gotta get rid of her. And so the scriptures tell us Joseph probably went to sleep that night thinking about this. It was on his mind. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Maybe you've said that too. What am I going to do, Lord? I don't know how to make it. I don't know what to do here. This is terrible for everybody. And what happens is what happens a lot of times. God comes to him. Emmanuel, God is with us. The scriptures tell us that God speaks to him in a dream. The angels come, God's messengers. They come and they give him a word. They give him some insight. They give him some wisdom. Not only that, but they tell him, you will name this child. And by naming the child, in the eyes of society, by naming that child, that gives Joseph ownership of that child. It's sort of like an adoption because he names the child. Connection. God has a way of bringing people into his fold, bringing people into his lair that sometimes we don't think should be there. So Joseph still, he wakes up, and so Joseph still has a decision to make. Was that God? Is that what I'm supposed to do? This child is a child in Mary. Has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Supernatural. You know, the other day I was, anybody ever watch X-Men? The Hulk, Thor, all these Marvel comics. What's that about? It's about supernatural powers. An ordinary human being being field or some kind of medical thing, research thing went wrong, and an ordinary human being is all of a sudden comes into a supernatural state, if even for a little while, to save the planet or save someone. Well, I watched this terrible battle, you know, between the Hulk and this other dude going back. So it's always been with us. People, you know, this God in the Old Testament, God did supernatural things through his power and his presence and through ways that we don't understand. And we still have sort of a fetish for that today. Something divine, something powerful comes down and grabs a human being and just, you know, fills them and does greater and more powerful work than a human being could do on their own. Isn't that awesome? God is with us to do the supernatural, to do greater things than we would know not of. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. A supernatural, super powerful, heavenly, divine event has happened. Joseph doesn't understand it. Which is what happens sometimes. We don't understand it. Are we supposed to understand it? No. We're just supposed to be obedient. And Joseph was obedient. This child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. He will save people from their sins. Isn't that what these supernatural beings do most of the time? Evil comes and then something happens and something more powerful has to come in and knock it out of the way. He will save their people from their sins. Joseph had faith. He believed in what God was telling him and calling him to do. He trusted. He had courage. He got in the saddle anyway, as John Wayne would say. He had to have courage. He trusted. In God we trust, as I shared. He believed and he trusted. It wasn't the first time and it wouldn't be the last time that Joseph would have to trust and believe in what God was guiding him and calling him to do. I would say Joseph made a wise decision, wouldn't you? I would say this man, the scripture say he was a righteous man. It meant he was a godly man. It meant he knew the Old Testament scriptures. It means he was living his life in a godly and powerful way, men. And that was important. It means that Joseph in that family took his spiritual leadership and God-given leadership. He took it seriously. And he took on the vulnerable Mary, the pregnant Mary, and this baby. He took it on. He didn't say, it's not my job. I didn't do it. I don't know what he asked me to do that for. I don't want, you know, I didn't have anything to do with it. It means that Joseph didn't have, there are no excuses, because God had called him and led him and told him what to do. And he stayed, and he embraced it, and he led, and he listened, he continued to listen to God and the Holy Spirit in his life. And because he did that, the family had to be moved from place to place, but they were saved so that you and I could be saved by this baby in the manger, Jesus Christ the Lord. This human father of the Christ child, he could have left his family. Man, he could have done it. Because he didn't agree with everything. Because things weren't going his way. Because it wasn't the way that he thought it. Mary, they were living, he was living life. It wasn't going the way he wanted it to go. But that's what happens when God comes down and when he intercedes in your life and my life. And if he moves us and calls us, and if we're obedient to it, he will show us the way. We don't always have the answers, but God does. His name shall be Jesus. Joseph names the baby Jesus. You see what happens because he's obedient? He gets the name, the baby. Isn't that awesome? Because he was obedient. Because he served this vulnerable family. Not because of what he wanted, but because of what God wanted. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God calls you and me to do the same thing. He calls us to love our family. You mean to love your family in spite of what the children are doing or not doing? In spite of how your relationship is going? Protect, serve. Be there for them. Live for them. Not for yourself. We live for others. We don't live for ourselves. Joseph could have gone so many ways. You know what I'm talking about. But God called him to serve, and he did it. And we don't know. When we obey God's message in our lives, we don't know who he's going to call us the name. And we don't know how we'll be remembered down through the ages. Where are you today? Joseph carried a heavy burden. Maybe you have some of those. Maybe you have a decision that you need to make today or tomorrow or next year, and you don't know what to do. God is with you and with me. And he will teach you, he will guide you, and he will bless you for it. Let us pray. Oh God, we call upon you in the power of your Holy Spirit and the lives of your people gathered here today. Lord, you say you will save us from our sins. Our sins are many. Our behavior sometimes is not what we would like for it to be. Our decision-making process sometimes is based on what? Serving ourselves and not others. Oh God, move in and through us today so that we might be obedient followers of yours, just as your servant Joseph was. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you need courage today? Do you need connection today? Do you need to confess a disobedience today? Will you turn your back on God? Jesus says he forgives us. And he constantly renews. And he's constantly taking the initiative in our lives to bring us to him. And he will never stop doing that.